No.
Good evening, Council. It is 6:06 p.m., so I will call this meeting to order. Beginning as always with attendance. Christian Fotang.
Here.
Pedro Almeida.
Here.
Chris Beasley. Levi Flamin.
Here.
Michael Griffiths.
Here.
Stephen Raitz.
Here.
Adrian Lam.
Here.
Mason Piche. Nathan Teeson,
Here.
Muniba Kadir,
Here.
Ayman Saif,
Here.
Amir Mohammed,
Here.
Damon Atwood, Elm Alahi, okay, Precious Majekodumni, Gillian Eisenstadt,
Here.
Noor Abdelwahab,
Here.
Laurel Ford,
Here.
Megan Garbutt.
Here.
I am present. I don't believe we have Jacob or Mark. Okay, moving to our traditional territory acknowledgments. First off, just a big thank you for everyone signing up on the sign-up sheet. All of the meetings are covered. If you haven't signed up, just let me know when we can find a meeting to add you to. We might just do two people per meeting if we need to. But without further ado, Muniba Kadir will be reading the treaty acknowledgement for today, so please go ahead.
We humbly acknowledge that we are gathered today on Amiskawatsi Waskaygan, or Beaver Hill House of the Sacred and Unceded Treaty 6 Territory, which has been home to the Nehiwa, Dene-Salanye, Nakota Sioux, Anishinaabe, and Niitsitapi peoples for countless generations. In recognizing the history of this land, we express our gratitude to the Indigenous communities whose deep connection to this land teaches us about relationships, resilience, and harmony with nature. We are mindful of the painful acts of colonialism that have caused harm and suffering to Indigenous peoples, such as the forced displacement from their ancestral lands, loss of cultural practices, and the lasting impacts of the residential school system. We also acknowledge the ongoing effects of these injustices, which continue to resonate through this country. Reconciliation is our shared journey toward understanding, healing, and collaboration. We are committed to listening to the stories and experiences of Indigenous peoples and working together to address the ongoing disparities and injustices that continue to persist. We understand that reconciliation is not just a word, but a call to action. It is a commitment to create a society where all voices are heard and respected. We honor the wisdom of the treaties and the relationships they represent, recognizing that they were built on the principles of mutual respect and cooperation. We aim to uphold these principles as we move forward, working together to build bridges of trust. In the spirit of reconciliation, we promise to educate ourselves and others and to advocate for policies that promote healing and justice. We acknowledge that reconciliation is a journey without a final destination, but it is a path we must walk with open hearts and minds. In the spirit of collaboration and unity, we strive for a future where the Treaty 6 territory and Amiskawati-Wiskaiken are places of mutual respect for all who share in the richness of this land.
Thank you, Maniba. Moving to our oath reminder, I didn't have the chance to create a specific reminder for today, so just a general reminder of the oath that we all have taken. I believe we actually just recited it last meeting, so hopefully it's fresh in all of your minds. So that brings us to speakers' business. First off, a big welcome to, we have one council member mentorship program joining us today. And thank you very much to Precious and Asil for spearheading that program. So a round of applause, please. Also, just a quick reminder to please RSVP for the upcoming council retreat and meeting at Campus St. Jean on November 4th. I forwarded the original email Courtney sent. I think it was last week. I forwarded it yesterday. If you still can't find it, just let Courtney know when we can set you up with the form. Also, I didn't have this in my notes, but welcome to Taylor Good, co-president at Campus St. Jean. Welcome. Yeah, round of applause for Taylor. And while we're doing introductions, our last year's vice president student life, Joni. Everyone's being introduced today. Yeah. So on to some more formal business. You may have noticed that we do have two late additions today relating to the ratification of Dai Board appointments. Items relating to this process were previously allowed given the importance of Dai Board being able to fulfill its functions under bylaw 140. So for the same reasons, I will be allowing these items on today's order paper under board and committee business. So we will come to those later in the meeting. On to our consent agenda. The sole item on the consent agenda today is the votes and proceedings from our last meeting on October 10th. Are there any concerns, comments, questions relating to the consent agenda for today's meeting? Any opposition to the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, the consent agenda is approved as presented. We don't have presentations today, so we move straight into reports. Do we have oral exec reports for today? Yeah, okay. So Michael, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple quick items for folks. I am happy to announce that as of GFC last Monday, our student counselors, air executives, and some of the other folks that were at that GFC meeting had some very powerful speaking turns, and the clean air strategy proposal at GFC did not pass, which is what we heard from students that they wanted. So we're pleased to announce that as an advocacy win. And then just a little shout out to fun stuff going on campus while I have the floor. Campus Cup registrations close on November 3rd, next Friday. And I encourage everyone to sign up in the meantime.
Thank you. Levi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and hello, Council. Just a couple of things that occurred after the written deadline for the written report last week. So over the weekend, myself, along with the other execs, attended FISL, the Foundation Summit for Sustainability and Leadership. I want to give a shout out to the Lead Center staff and volunteers for all the work that they put into making that a success. It was quite the turnout. The Health and Dental Committee met on Friday. Robin Patches, Student Care Program Manager and former Vice President Operations and Finance, came in to give an overview of our health and dental insurance. So props to our Students Council member who showed up and came with the hard-hitting questions. And he mentioned afterwards that he really appreciated getting grilled the way he did. Sustainability Committee, Michael asked me to come in and give a quick TLDR on the Sustainability and Capital Fund, since the Sustainability Committee adjudicates on the Green Fund applications this year. And then last but not least, the zoning bylaw renewal proposal. Yesterday, Edmonton City Council voted 11-2-2 to approve the zoning bylaw renewal proposal. So thank you to everybody involved, Christian for coming to speak, as well as all the other students and supporters of the proposal. Excited to see what changes it brings to the city. And Chris did absolutely nothing to... No, I'm kidding. He actually did quite a bit. So shout out to VP External Beasley for all the work that he did as well, between the bite-sized politics and rounding up all the city, that students, not just from U of A, but the other student associations around the country too. So yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Pedro, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Most can be found in the written report. Having said that, there was a recent development that I want to let the SU Students Council know about. It was informed to the AMP Advisory Committee or Board yesterday that the Academic Materials Program does not have to go through the approval route that was originally communicated to students, which would have been APC and BFPC, but instead only has to get approved by the Provost and Vice President Academic, as well as the Vice President of Facilities and Operations of the University of Alberta. It was also communicated, though, that knowing the people in charge and leadership at the university administration, that several degrees of consultation are still expected, and that these changes were a recent development as a result of communication with university governance that was previously unknown.
Thank you. And finally, Christian, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, good evening, Council. Got a lot of stuff to update you on that might not already be on the written reports. I wanted to start off by acknowledging and recognizing the great work that was led by VP Michael Griffiths, Pedro, and as well the presidents of the Indigenous Students Union, Elijah Moya, and president of OASIS, Hussein Al-Husseini, in leading the fight against the Cleaner Strategy proposal. In this room last week, I believe student advocacy reflected the best of what GFC can look like in terms of bringing well-constructed conversations that point out the lack of evidence-based informed policies that the university brings when trying to affect the student experience. And obviously, the motion being shut down, I think, was a sign of, you know, well-organized and well-prepared student advocacy, and a lot of that work and effort was done through the leadership of your VPs and the presidents of our faculty association, so I want to shout them out for that. Alongside, Levi already pointed out the work that Chris, alongside the chair of the ESA, did with the zoning bylaw renewal, which was passed earlier this Monday, but again, if not for the hundreds of voices in the Edmonton community, but alongside student and youth voices that came forward talking about the importance of this legislation and amendment in regards to making our city more dense, more connected, and our neighborhoods more vibrant, we wouldn't have gone there. So really proud of the work that Chris and Levi, especially, is selling himself short when he gave his speech. Councillor Tang especially was very intrigued by some of the data and facts that Levi was pointing out. Even I myself was like, wow, like he came prepared, did his homework, and he got a follow-up from the councillor being here. Would you mind sharing some of your research and information with us as we're kind of making a decision? And in the feedback, a lot of city councillors pointed out the youth and student perspectives that were talked about during the zoning bylaw renewal. And lastly, want to give a huge shout out and recognition to our folks in our Sustain SU and Leadership Services Department. This past weekend was the Foundation Summit for Sustainability Leadership. We heard a lot from keynote speakers, as well as student leaders, on the importance, the challenges, and the opportunities that exist when it comes to leadership that's grounded by a sustainability framework, and was really proud of the work that they did and the job that our two MCs, Michael and Pedro, did in hosting the event. So that's what we have, and until next time, thank you.
Thank you for your reports. Are there any reports from boards or committees of council? Levi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello again, council. So at our most recent finance committee meeting, we ratified the SU award winners for the 2022-23 year. So congrats to all the winners. We'll see everybody at the awards gala on Friday. But in particular, I wanted to congratulate Mason, Eamon, and Jillian on winning their awards this year. Also to former councillors David Lee and Adrian Wadamaniak, who were also two of the award winners. They were both council members last year. And then a shout out to KGK, the East Asian Studies Undergraduate Students Association, of which I used to be a president a few years ago, on their Best Event of the Year award. So it's exciting to see as a former exec of that group to see how far they've come in the last few years. We also reviewed and approved FACRA's DFU from last year. They were late submitting it, and there was things kind of fell through the cracks, but we were able to got their check to them. And then we'll be seeing them again soon for this year's DFU disbursement. Finance Committee struck the Reserve Funds and Investments Policy Task Force. At our last meeting, we appointed two students at large, and we'll be filling the last student at large position at our next meeting. We'll fill a Finance Committee seat at the next meeting, and then Sustainability Committee filled their seat at their last meeting. So welcome to Michael as the Sustainability Committee member. And just yesterday, we received a second quote for the Dewey's Washroom Schematics. Finally, and we'll discuss that one as well as the previous one we had for Mark Studio to decide what we're going to bring back to council. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further reports from boards or committees? Any reports from general council membership? Okay, seeing none, we will move. Oh, sorry, Jill. Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say I'm very excited for the UESU retreat at CSJ and to fill out the sign-up sheet. If you haven't already, you guys are in for a real treat to come découvrir le campus and see our wonderful students. We'll have a message from a schedule will be sent out to you, but we'll have like a message from the dean, a little Q&A with Dean Jason Carey. A student panel, a presentation from the theater club, which I'm not even sure what that's going to look like yet. Opportunity to go to Cafe Bicyclette and to also eat from the caterers at CSJ itself. So it's going to be fun. So make sure you're there on November 4th.
I think I said this in the email, but just an added personal plea to sign up and to attend. I think just during my time on council, those retreats are some of the most meaningful activities that we do. We really get to connect with other campuses and students. So highly recommend it. Please come if you're able. So unless there's any other reports from members, we'll go to open forum. So are there any guests of council wanting to ask questions or make statements at today's meeting? We do have a few people here today. And to our council mentorship program attendee, you're welcome to ask questions or make statements too if you'd like. Yes, please. And just let us know your name so we all know who you are and whether it's a question or a statement.
Certainly. My name is Haley. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and hello, council. I'd just like to make a statement and more or less an inquiry into what is going on with door access into certain buildings after hours. It has come to the attention of InfoLink and to the general student body that some students are having issues accessing the buildings after 7 p.m., preferably within Torrey and the Humanity Center. I was seeing if there was any progress into that sort of issue and if anything should move forward within that. Thank you.
I think Michael is going to take that one. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Haley, for uplifting those concerns. So for all of our folks at council and abroad to be aware of, Pedro and I are currently working on that file. Building hours across campus, not just in those two buildings that you listed, have been slowly being reduced to the public due to ongoing security concerns that campus is facing, trying to ensure that unaffiliated folks aren't continuing to access spaces and pose a risk to our community members. So in response to that, we have, of course, voiced the concerns that students still require access to buildings and students do not go home at 4:30 or 5 very often, as staff tend to. So yeah, Pedro and I are very aware of the file and are working on it with James's team, who was here to present a few weeks ago, about ensuring that student access maintains a priority. And most of what we're looking to do there will be ensuring that students retain building access through the use of their one card. So we'll working on ensuring that students can tap their one card, still get in outside of those normal operating hours. We understand it's very frustrating for students in the meantime, but we're doing our best and there's a lot of complications to move through. So we're working on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley and Michael, for your response. I see, I think it's the staff reporter for the Gateway. Maybe just restate your name and whether it's a question or a statement, please.
I'm a Parajita staff reporter at the Gateway, and this is a question directed to VP Finance, Levi Flamin. What was the second architectural quote and how does it compare to the first one?
Thank you for the question. Because like I wouldn't be able to give specific numbers just until the because it's proprietary information, it hasn't been ratified or anything by Finance Committee yet, but I can say it was more than the one we originally received.
Thank you. Any further questions or statements from guests of council? Okay, seeing none, we'll move out of open forum and into question period. Are there any members of council wanting to make statements or ask questions of other members? Adrian, please go ahead, and then we'll have Amir.
Hi, so this is a question for Pedro. Could you just reiterate what you were stating in your report as to like what the change in the approval routing for AMP and if you can provide some context as to why would it be that new approval process compared to the old one?
Yes, the change was that it was informed to the AMP advisory committee that AMP does not have to go through the GFC academic planning committee nor the board finance and property committee, which was the originally communicated approval route, and that the alternative approval route is approval from the provost and vice president academic, Dr. Yu, and vice president facilities and operations. Is it doctor? Yeah, Mr. Sharman. Does that help? And then does that help answer your question? What was the second part, Adrian?
The second part was just if you can provide context as to why this would be the new approval routing compared to the old one. So like what's kind of like changed?
Well, this is like what the official requirement is. And the communication was that there is a change in the requirement and that's due to the type of fee that AMP falls under. So by virtue of being a non-mandatory academic or instructional fee, it essentially falls under a category of unregulated fees that do not have to follow standard approval routes. The change is more in lines with just more recent communication coming about in relation to this. So the communication between the university governance and the people leading the AMP file for the university.
Thank you. Amir, please go ahead.
Yes, my question was in regards to the Meyer Horowitz Theater. Currently, a student group I'm involved with was looking to book the Meyer Horowitz Theater for the next term. And we were informed that there might be delays in its completion, like renovation, completion of the renovations. Has there been like why has there been like so many delays basically it was scheduled to be completed by December of last year. It's still been getting delayed, and what are the financial implications of that?
Was it to anybody in particular, or?
To VP Levi. Okay.
So yeah, thanks for the question. We're like, as you said, there's been many, many delays on this project. The delays that were in the project early on, it was generally in the period of construction where one trade wouldn't affect another. Like if one trade gets delayed, everybody else can keep progressing. But the closer we get to completion of the project, if one gets delayed, everybody gets delayed. If the electricians, for whatever reason, if a spool of wire doesn't come in and they can't put the wiring in, the framers can't come in afterwards. If the framers can't come in, the drywallers can't come in. If the drywallers can't come in, the painters can't come in. So we're at that point now where even a small delay has lots of trickle-down effects. So if anything's going to be delayed, it's going to be now. And the earlier ones can be delayed, can be explained more or less because of the supply chain issues that occurred. Like COVID affected everybody. And it wasn't just this project. It was like, it affected the construction industry as a whole. So I'm as frustrated as you are, but it's just the nature of a construction project. Delays are going to happen. I think it's informed, certainly, at least for me, something I'd like to pursue is the way that we solicit and bid or solicit bids on contracts and how we select them. But this happened before my time. This is what a council 2 or 3 years ago selected. So we just have to, there's not a whole lot we can do. We can't kick everybody out. Otherwise we have a half finished theater or bring in somebody new. So aside from asking them to hurry up, there's really not anything. It's done when it's done. And before the end of the term, our GM Mark is going to come and give a presentation on the theater too. So you'll maybe a little more in depth on the financials and stuff too.
Thank you. Steven, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is just following up a little bit more from Adrian's question earlier around the AMP and the change in the decision-making process. And I just I think I know the answer to this question, and it's probably no, but I just want to put it out there just to understand. For the VP academic, do we have an understanding about if there was any connection between like the UASU releasing their statements and the change in the decision-making process, like the university seeing that the students' union feels one way on behalf of students and then alters the decision-making process as a result? Like I said, I think I know the answer to this question, but I think it would just be good to put this on the record in as clear a way as possible if we know, and if we don't know, then that's something to learn more about. So thanks for listening to my long-winded question.
Yeah, no, thanks, Stephen. I would say there's no indication that the USU's position was a catalyst for any change. Having said that, I don't think that would be communicated if that had been the catalyst. I would also just like to clarify one thing in regards to this update. The way that I presented it, it may have sounded like there will be no approval process. And it's more that the communication is that the requirement is not there for it to undergo the previously outlined approval process. Whether the university chooses to follow a certain approval route of voting in certain places or not has not been outlined yet to the extent of my knowledge. But that may be the case moving forward. In terms of the USU's influence on this, it has been, the position paper has been discussed, but I wouldn't say that that was the catalyst for this change. I think what has been communicated is just that it was the result of communication with the university governance and a better understanding of the approval process for a fee of the type that AMP falls under.
Thank you. Nathan, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is directed to the Vice President Academic Pedro Almeida. To clarify, will the academic material program still have to go through the purview of students, faculty, and staff to the General Faculties Council, or has the university quite blatantly undermined the voices of campus?
That's a great question, Nathan. I would say that it's first important to clarify that even with the previous approval process, AMP did not have to get approved at GFC as a body previously. It would only have gone through APC. So when I said GFC APC, I mean the General Faculty Council Committee of the Academic Planning Committee. So voting at GFC hasn't changed. I think that communications on the approval route currently or what standards for or threshold for voting the university is going to fall under have not been made clear. In bringing this update, my hope was to keep the SU Students Council as up to date as possible on recent developments, while also ensuring that in the future, hopefully everything that comes along is communicated as well. And so when new approval processes are communicated, hopefully either Christian or myself can provide that to you. One thing that's important to note is that the people leading the project on AMP have made an effort to come talk to students and have made an effort to consult with faculty and staff and deans. And so I think that whatever's chosen and moving forward, hopefully that continues in the spirit of consultation. So that, as you put it, the voices of students aren't undermined in the future. But that is a great question.
That brings us to the end of the speakers list. Before we move on, are there any further questions or statements from members of council? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to the end of question periods. And I think for the first time this year into unfinished business. So this is business that was unable to be completed at our previous meeting and is being brought back forward for further consideration and action. And the motion is to appoint one counselor to the Sustainability Committee. Michael, would you like to introduce?
I am so happy to be the spearhead behind the first motion of unfinished business. Council already heard me introduce this motion last time because it's unfinished business, but I would really love if any one of our counselors would be interested in filling up the final council seat on Sustainability Committee, along with Adrian and Damien, who are already on there. Sustainability Committee is taking a nice long look at the adjudication rubric for the Green Fund, and we'll be working to administer those monies this year, among other things. So it's going to be lots of fun. Please join.
Thank you. And maybe just another brief reminder of the meeting schedule. Michael, just another brief reminder of the meeting schedule.
Every second Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. Not next Monday, but the Monday after. But that schedule has the potential to change as we near the end of term and into next term, and we're running out of meetings in the meantime. So
Okay, thank you. Are there any nominations from the floor for the Sustainability Committee? Any nominations from the floor? Okay, last call for nominations from the floor. I honestly would, but I don't think I'm eligible. So sadly, no. Michael?
In the absence of capacity amongst our counselors, I would love to nominate the glorious Christian Fotang to serve on one of the few committees of Students Council that he has not yet done in his 3-year term. So, yeah.
Christian?
I humbly accept.
Okay. Okay, are there any further nominations for Sustainability Committee from the floor? Okay, seeing none, we have not one nomination for one available seat. Is there any opposition to simply acclaiming Christian Fotang to the open seat? Any opposition? Okay, seeing no opposition, Fo Tang is declared appointed to the Sustainability Committee. Congratulations. Okay, moving to our next item. We're into board and committee business now. We have a motion to appoint one councillor to the bylaw committee. Jill, would you like to introduce and let us know the meeting schedule, please?
Yeah, so bylaw committee drafts and edits bylaws as well as a few referendum questions. Yeah, bylaw's been very effective recently. We've passed a lot of things this summer. It's been great. I love the team. Unfortunately, we did have someone resign. I appreciate all the work that they've done already for bylaw committee, but we are looking to fill that seat. So if you want to help myself, Damon, Levi, and Steven, and Mark is a non-voting member on that committee, that would be amazing.
Thanks, Jill. Any nominations from the floor for bylaw committee? Fo Tang.
I wish to nominate Vice President Almeida.
Pedro?
I humbly accept.
Thank you. Jill, I did see your hands. No? Okay. Any further nominations from the floor? Any further nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to acclaiming Pedro? Jill? Yeah. Okay. Okay, Joe.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Noor Abdelwahab.
Noor?
I accept.
Thank you.
I with... No. No. I withdraw my nomination.
Okay, Pedro withdraws. So we have one nominee for one available position. Are there any further nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to acclaiming Noor Abdelwahab to the vacancy on bylaw committee? Any opposition? Okay, seeing none, Noor Abdelwahab is acclaimed to the bylaw committee. Congratulations. Okay, thank you, Council. Moving to our next item, it's the motion to ratify Hiba Khan and Prisha Sarna as tribunes for the Dai Board. Noor, would you like to please introduce this motion?
Yeah, hello. So for the past almost 2 months, we went through the applications and conducted interviews, and we just voted on these two nominees to be appointed as tribunes. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion relating to the appointments of these two individuals to the Dai Board? Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll move straight into a vote. This vote will be conducted using the UAlberta Vote platform. You can find the link in the WhatsApp chat. And the vote is live. We have almost all of the votes in. Just a last call to submit your votes. Okay, last chance to submit your votes. Okay, thank you, Council. With 16 votes in favor and none against, the motion passes unanimously. Congratulations to Hiba Khan and Prisha Sarna. On to our final motion of the meeting. The motion is to ratify Navneet Chand and Leighton Janzen as Associate Chief Tribunes of the Dai Board. Noor, would you like to introduce this motion?
Sure, yeah. So the Chief Tribune of Dai Board recommended these two, and we had a vote and it was unanimous. So yeah, we'd like to ratify them as Associate Chief Tribunes.
Thank you. Any discussion on this motion? Last call for discussion. Okay, seeing none, we'll move into a vote. And the vote should be live now. Okay, last chance to submit your votes if you haven't. Okay, thank you, Council. With 16 votes in favor and none opposed, the motion is carried. And Navneet Chand and Leighton Janzen are appointed as Associate Chief Tribunes. Congratulations to them. Okay, so that concludes our business for today's meeting. Are there any kind of final announcements or anything people want to make, important info? Okay, seeing none, we'll take attendance and adjourn. Christian Foteng, Pedro Almeida.
Here.
Chris Beasley. Levi Flamin.
EC.
Michael Griffiths.
Here.
Stephen Rates.
Here.
Adrian Lamb.
Here.
Mason Peach.
Here.
Nathan Thiessen.
Here.
Muniba Kadir.
Here.
Ayman Saif.
Here.
Amir Mohammed.
Here.
Damon Atwood. Elma Alahi.
Here.
Precious Majekodumni. Jillian Eisenstadt.
Isi.
Noor Abdelwahab.
Here.
Laurel Ford.
Here.
Megan Garbutt.
Here.
And I am present, and Jacob and Mark are not. So we adjourn at 6:51 p.m. Have a great night, everyone.